This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Gold Boys. Coming up on the show, Raheem Palmer of The Ringer will join us. We will go over the NBA playoffs, get his thoughts for the games on Monday and Tuesday, get his reaction to this weekend, and I will get to my picks here in a second and give some thoughts on the weekend. Fun time of the year. Draft on Thursday, NBA and NHL playoffs underway, along with, of course, all of the Major League Baseball. Getting warm here in the East Coast, so a good time of the year. Feels good to have the warmer weather and have the playoffs here and the draft this week. It's a fun week. And I will get to my picks here. First of all, Sunday, and I'm recording this as Warriors Rockets are playing right now. Cavs beat the Heat and all of the chalk Sunday, which you had a lot of the big boys in action with the Thunder absolutely obliterating the Grizzlies and then the Celtics taking care of business against the Magic. And now the Cavs beating the Heat. So the 2-1 seeds and then the 2-2 seeds, three teams that everyone kind of assumes are going to be in the conference finals, all in action on Sunday. And look, this Sunday, I'll get to Saturday because Saturday was good. Sunday is a perfect example of why the best of five was such a better format for the NBA playoffs. Get the series over with. It was so much more efficient. It was so much more exciting to just get these series out of the way. We don't need a best of seven with Memphis and OKC. We don't need a best of seven with Magic and Celtics. We don't need a best of seven with Heat and Cavs. Get these things over in five. Not only is it efficient, but it adds some excitement where if the favorite ever does lose game one, well, now they're in a lot of trouble, because if you lose game two, you're in major, major trouble. And even if you win game two, you split at home, well, the lower seed has a chance to close you out at home. And it's not like we got that many upsets where it was unfair to the higher seed. It's basketball. It's the NBA. The better team usually wins. So I really miss the best of five. They're never going back to it. They changed it 20 years ago. And it's just more games, more revenue, more money. But this is a perfect example of why the best of five format was so much better. But nothing really to discuss in Memphis, OKC, from an interest standpoint. I will say Memphis to get swept, OKC to sweep at plus 105, I still think is good because they are 15-point favorites in game two here on Tuesday, and I don't know how many points you'd have to give me to take Memphis. It would be a lot. 15 is probably not enough, even if, by definition, this is probably taxed based on the recency bias of a 51-point blowout, the biggest blowout in NBA playoff history. I'll take the plus 105 just because very likely they win game two. And if, as long as OKC, which is going to be favored in game three, as long as they can take care of business in game three, game four is usually a situation when one team is up 3-0, the market gives up on the team down 3-0. And this is going to be a big, big spread in game four. So game three is really the only one you're worried about. And even that one, you're going to be a good 6 or so point favorite. I would think, you're 15-point favorites in game two. There's no way where you can have a 10-point adjustment. So 6-7, you're going to be a sizable favorite in game three. So I think the plus 105 is actually good on OKC to sweep. And one other thing on that series before I get to Saturday is Pippen Jr. guards SGA, hits his primary defender. The guy on Memphis, obviously, Scottie Pippen Jr.'s son. He's a very aggressive defender. He's very foul prone. And guarding SGA, who's the king of getting to the line, looking at Pippen Jr. unders, he was 10.5 on Sunday for points, 4.5 assists, and 3.5 rebounds. Those were his over-unders. He went under on all of them. He had 5 fouls. He didn't play well. So he's a guy who could struggle to stay on the court with his inability to not commit fouls. So that would be one I would look at for Memphis. But Saturday was a good day. Going into Golden State, Houston, Sunday was chalk and it was expected. Nothing really surprising, nothing of interest going into the late game, at least, which should be a good Golden State Houston series, a long series. Saturday was the day because, all right, Indiana blows out Milwaukee. And by the way, Milwaukee, if this continues to go that direction for Milwaukee, the entire summer is going to be, unless Giannis squashes it, the entire summer is going to be Giannis trade proposals. Where could he go? Where does he fit? Do the Knicks, would the Nets make a move? Which, look, he's not going to play with anyone in Brooklyn, so I don't know if that makes sense. The Rockets have assets. It's harder to make trades now with the NBA cap rules, but that looks like it's gotten stale around Giannis. I wouldn't completely count out Milwaukee just because Indiana did not have an answer for Giannis, but Indiana wins game one. They win it comfortably. That was not much to watch, not much to discuss other than the future of Giannis, and we'll see about Lillard when he comes back. If he comes back, Milwaukee, remember, has a habit of fabricating these injuries. Last year, they claimed Giannis was coming back when Giannis was the one hurt, and it was, oh, maybe next game, maybe next game, maybe next game, and next game never come. And once the series ended and the season ended, it was clear that he was never coming back. So keep that in mind if you're just going to take Milwaukee at their word that Lillard's going to be back any moment now. I'm not so sure. He might be, he might not be. We'll have to wait and see him until I actually see him play. I'm not as convinced. But Denver Clippers, that was the game of the weekend. That was just a classic game. So much talent on both sides of the court, especially for our first round series with Jokic, with Kawhi, who was not great in the game, Harden, all of the up and downs of Westbrook, which he was awful for most of this game, missed a million layups, just smoked them off the glass. And then he comes through with a clutch three where they leave him open and gets the game deciding steal. He did one of the dumber things ever, which a 2 second differential. Denver's up a point. If you're the Clippers, you probably have to foul. You can't really leave it to chance to give Denver the last shot where they wait till there's a second left on the shot clock. If they ever shot a high arcing shot, it'd be almost impossible to corral the rebound, call timeout, and then win the game. It's just, you're going to be in a position where you have to foul when you're losing with a 2 second differential, 2 points. 2.5, 2.7, something like that. Westbrook takes a contested shot, misses it, but this was a theme late. Denver got another offensive rebound. They get to the line. They eventually salt the game away. And by the way, bad beat. I guess a bad beat if you had the clip, if you had Denver minus 2.5, because the Clippers were the right side the whole game. But with a 5 point margin, Powell hits a three at the buzzer, and they don't foul with 0.9 left. Usually, you get that last with almost a second left, you would get that last foul, but not the case. Denver wins by two. I don't change how I feel about the series. I thought it was Denver in seven going in. I thought it was a true coin toss. I did think people were sleeping on Denver because, I mean, at the end of the day, you have the best player in the world in Jokic, who actually missed a couple of free throws late and looked like could be a pivotal situation that could come back to bite him. It didn't. You got the best player and you got home court advantage. So Denver in seven, I think, is still very much on the table. And I just don't like when teams that have a chance to steal one on the road. Giving a game away anyway is tough, but when you have a chance to steal one on the road and you don't get it, that makes me nervous. But Clippers are a 1 point favorite in game two. I don't have any bets here. I don't think this is a situation where the Clippers can't win in Denver or vice versa. I think these are very evenly matched teams. That is a good home court in Denver, but again, I think this is headed for six and very possibly seven. So nothing in that game, as great as it was, changes my opinion. I would have worried if Denver lost that we're in for maybe a short series that, LA might just be better than them. And LA still might be better than them. 20 turnovers, had plenty of chances to put the game away, led by 17 in the first half. Just couldn't put Denver away. If LA had won that game, you'd think, oh man, what if they ever win game two? This could be a 4 or 5 game knockout for the Clippers. The fact that Denver won makes me even more confident it's going to be a short series. I don't think Denver wins a short series. I think the Clippers are too good. I think the Clippers are too good to win to be put away shortly. So should be looking at a good long first round series here between those two teams. And speaking of giving games away on the road, if you had the Pistons plus the seven on Saturday, oh my goodness, you're up 8 in the fourth. They were up 80-71, and I honestly thought they were going to win the game. You guys know, if you listened the past week or so, I picked them to win in six. I thought that, there's enough flaws with the Knicks. The Pistons are underrated, could steal one early, then win it at home in front of a good home crowd. Well, that was kind of the one you had to get. That really makes me nervous from a Pistons standpoint that you got that kind of game from Tobias Harris. You got the Knicks off their game. You're up 9. The crowd is quiet. The fact that you couldn't put the game away, and they had all the markings of a team that just a young team that came apart at the first sign of pressure on the road. Hostile environment, turnovers, missed dunks. They had a terrible missed dunk, a wide open missed dunk. And, campaign came to life. Brunson did his thing in the fourth quarter, and the Knicks just ran away with the game. So, Knicks laying 6.5 here in game two. I don't trust that Pistons situation. The Pistons, the way they lost the game, if they just lost by 15 or 20 in a game where they were trailing throughout, I wouldn't have as much concern. I say, you know what, you can kind of throw it away and come back. And maybe the fact that they're a young team makes them just have a short memory. The fact that they had a chance, and the final score is very deceiving. The fact that they had a chance to steal the game and were favored late in the third, early fourth quarter, favored to win the game, expected to win the game. When you're up 8-9 late third, early fourth, that's a game. Not that it's an insurmountable lead, but that's a game you probably win more than you don't. And they just completely came apart at the seams. So we'll keep an eye on that. And then Lakers, Minnesota. Minnesota just ran him out of the building, made a million threes at one point, 20 of 36 from three. Just incredible shooting. But look, the looks were open. The shots were open. LeBron did not look great. LeBron looked old, I know. And give credit to Sammy P. Came on Wednesday last week and said he liked Minnesota game one. And LeBron has a habit of not playing well in game one, not doing well in game one, and uses it as a feeling out process. Well, they got felt out. They got felt out of the building. So Lakers in a must-win spot in game two. That is one where I would have some concern. I picked Lakers in seven. I would have some concern with how dominant Minnesota was. That being said, and this will lead me into my picks, we've seen this so many times where teams win game one on the road and get absolutely obliterated in game two. There's a little bit of satisfaction that sets in for the team that won. There's desperation, which you can't fake for game two. Minnesota probably not going to shoot the three as well. We wouldn't expect in the second game. So I think LA minus the, see if there's some fives out there, some five and a halves. I would expect the Lakers to bounce back. So I will lay the Lakers minus the 5.5 here. I think that is a bet that can get home here. So Lakers minus 5.5 is a pick. OKC to sweep. I keep saying the Grizzlies. I don't know why. OKC to sweep plus 105 is a pick. Pippen Jr. unders, whether it's 9.5 points, 10.5 points, that'll be a pick. And look at his points, rebounds, assists, you know, whatever you want to do with that. I think they're all correlated because the handicap here is he's just going to get in foul trouble and have a hard time staying on the court. So look for those markets. Those come up pretty quickly. So Scottie Pippen Jr. under player props, I think, are good. And you want to have a little fun in parlay them, I think that's not the worst idea. Would it hit on Sunday? And maybe you cash that again here in game two. And then Boston, Orlando. Orlando, I mentioned it for game one, and I'm just going to keep going back to it until it burns me. Orlando just can't score. They can't shoot. They got a pretty good shooting first half, too, and they just couldn't score in the second half. There's just too many athletic, long bodies for Boston, who's home, who's rested, who's hungry. They can just throw all these bodies at Paolo, and there's nobody else on Orlando that can beat them. So under team total, 94.5 for Orlando. That one actually moved against me. It went up to 96.5 for game one, and it never came close. I will go back to it. Orlando team total under 94.5. I will keep playing that till it beats me. So a bunch of picks, a bunch of games this weekend. Clippers, Denver was great. Knicks, Pistons was good. It's good to have the playoffs underway. Let's get some of these series that don't really need to be dragged out. We'll get them over with, and we will have, I think, in the West, three really good series. We'll see if the Pistons can put up a fight in the East. We'll see if the Bucks can put up a fight in the East. The other two should be relatively quick, short series between the Celtics and Magic and the Cavs and Heat. So excited, excited to have the playoffs back. Excited to talk to Raheem Palmer. He will break it all down. That is next. This should have been more podcast. All right, we are back. You can catch him at the Ringer, where he's one of the best in the business when it comes to gambling, football, NBA, a bunch of sports. It is Raheem Palmer. Raheem, what's going on, man? It's been a while. How's everything?
Man, everything's good. Just out here in the desert right now. You know, I moved from Philly to Vegas and just enjoying the NBA postseason. We got off to a, you know, a pretty good start, so I'm excited.
We'll get to the games Monday, the games Tuesday, but as we're recording this, Heat Cavs going on, Warriors Rockets later. What has been your biggest takeaway? We'll call it six games through the postseason. What were your reaction to the four games on Saturday and the first two on Sunday?
The biggest reaction I've had is that, I mean, my motto has been wrong. Like, I mean, my motto is love the underdogs in pretty much everything. And it seems like the, you know, the favorites are pretty much rolling. So, I mean, outside of the Minnesota Timberwolves, who, I mean, they just shot lights out. So it feels like the favorites are just absolutely rolling right now.
Is there any of these series that have started that you feel differently now after we've played a game?
I thought Milwaukee would have a better, like, I thought they had, you know, a better chance than the market indicated. And after watching that game one, and you try not to be reactionary, but after watching that first game, it just doesn't feel like they have many answers, even with Damian Lillard returning. You know, it's like, you know, people are probably looking at this series and saying, you know, Dame Lillard is going to be a big help. But ultimately, I think the biggest issue with the Milwaukee Bucks is their defense. Like, they don't have a prayer at stopping this Bucks team. And you could see it about, you know, in the first quarter, like 6 minutes into the game, you know, the Pacers had, they generated all these open baskets. They were in transition. I just don't know how this Bucks team slows anybody down. And look, you could look at the Bucks and say, oh, they shot poorly from three. But ultimately, what it comes down to is how are they going to get stops? Like, I know the Bucks, they were 9 for 37 from three, and that should improve. But I mean, ultimately, I just don't know how they're going to slow down this Pacers team. So I think that's a series that, you know, it went under in game one, but I think you need to be looking at overs in the future, because I just don't see the Bucks slowing them down.
If the Pacers win this in whatever, 4, 5, 6, doesn't matter, are you of the belief that the Giannis trade request is going to come? It's usually not the foreign guys. It's usually more the American guys that are getting me out of here. But it's just gone stale since they won that title, and we can always play the what-if game. If Durant's foot isn't on the line, man, Giannis is looked at a whole lot differently. He's never won a finals, never been to a finals. That being said, he got there. The things that happened. He scored 50-something finals, so he was great in that finals against the Suns. But what do you see with Giannis going forward if the Bucks do lose the series?
See, it's tough because, you know, the foreign guys, they rarely ask for a trade. I mean, I don't know if they've ever asked for one. You know, you see Luka Doncic, he wanted to play in Dallas for the rest of his career. They seem rather loyal, but I think it is growing stale. And I think we're at a point to where I just don't know what you do to build around Giannis at this point. I mean, they have an older roster. I think ultimately at some point they're probably going to have to trade him. So I'm actually hoping he asks for a trade, because I'm tired of watching this Bucks team. Like, honestly, throughout the whole Giannis Antetokounmpo era, you know, with Drew Holiday, before Drew Holiday, they've always struggled to score in the postseason. You know, you look at their role players, they struggle to hit open shots. And that's a big reason why they traded for Damian Lillard. And Dame doesn't seem like the same guy. And ultimately, the defense isn't there. And, you know, they fired a good coach in Mike Budenholzer, made him the scapegoat. And you bring in Adrian Griffin, that doesn't work out. And then you bring in Doc Rivers, and we know about his postseason failures. So I don't know what the path is to improve this roster, improve this team. And I would like to see Giannis go somewhere else.
Where would that somewhere else be? Because I don't know, you know, thinking about possible trades, it's hard now with the second apron. Not that I'm an expert on the salary cap or whatever, but from all the NBA, the cap guys say it's really hard to pull off these trades. We've seen fewer trades in the last year or two since this come about. I mean, the usual suspects are always the Knicks. I don't know if would the Nets go down that road again. Giannis isn't going to play with anyone if Brooklyn makes that trade. Rockets have assets. Could that be a solution? I don't know. Is there a team I'm not thinking of?
I mean, you always got to be looking at Miami. Like, I mean, obviously they don't have Jimmy Butler, but they're always a team who's just looking to make moves. And I think, you know, if you put Giannis Antetokounmpo on the trade block, you're going to have everybody stepping up. I mean, you're going to have the Knicks, obviously. You might have the Knicks putting Carl Anthony Towns. I mean, you're going to have Orlando, you know, possibly making a move. Like, you're going to have pretty much any team out there trying to get this guy. The sky's the limit, really.
All right, let's get to the games on Monday. I thought Detroit had a chance. I picked them. I took a shot on them at 6 at 9-1. And, man, the thought process was steal one in New York, hold serve at home, and hopefully you can close it out in 6. Because if the lower seed's going to win, a lot of times it's going to be in 6. They're not going to sweep the Knicks. They're not going to win in 5. It'd be hard to win in 7. So I thought Detroit in 6 was live. And, man, I thought they were going to steal game one. They were up 90-81. They just had all the markings of a young team that falls apart in a hostile environment. That being said, Knicks laying 6.5 in game two, total 221.5. Do you have any concern about a young team bouncing back after a kind of loss like that? What are your thoughts on this Knicks Pistons game and series in general?
So I agree with you. And I mean, I didn't play the Pistons for the series, but, you know, my motto actually likes the Pistons. And, you know, the Pistons, when you look at how they played the Knicks all season long, they were 3-1 against the Knicks. However, the Knicks starting lineups had been crushing the Pistons. So that's one of the things that kind of kept me off the Pistons for the series. But I thought game one was the game to where they would have a chance to keep things close. And you look at Jalen Brunson, since he returned to the lineup, you know, he was really struggling. He played 4 games, you know, after missing 15 with that injury. And he starts off 3 of 14 from the field in game one. And, you know, he goes on that tear in the fourth quarter, finishes with 23 points, finishes with 34 points, was 12 of 27 from the field. So if you can't capitalize on a game where Jalen Brunson isn't playing well, Mikal Bridges is pretty much a ghost for large stretches of that game, I don't know how you're going to win this series. So, like, I feel like that series, that loss should count as 2 losses for me, because I just think that's a game that you have to get, considering how poorly, you know, Brunson started off and just how poorly Bridges played. So I just don't know what the path is going forward. It just felt like that was the game that they had to have. So I'm not going to be on the Pistons in game two. I think if you're going to play the Pistons, I think you want to be looking at them for game three.
Nothing for game two. No side, no
I
total.
like the
Maybe.
total. I
Okay.
play over 221 and a half. I think that total was short. I think it's really short. You got, 123, 112 in game one. And like I said, Brunson, as a guy who's, he's taking the majority of the shots. And he shot poorly. So, you got a 125 offensive rating from the Knicks, and I don't think that they played up to their caliber. What were they? 10 of 30, 10 of 26 from three, 38%. I mean, it's pretty good percentage, but I think they could have shot better. I think, the Pistons, even Cade was just 8 of 21 from the field. So I think this total's a little short. I played 221 and a half. I think it's up to 222. So I like that one for game two.
And big picture, it sounds like if I'm reading between the lines here, you think the Knicks probably win this series 5, 6 games if you had a redo here in terms of a prediction.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. Definitely without a doubt. One of the one of the props I played in game one is Malik Beasley over. Actually, I want to see if they adjust that. They adjusted it by a point, but that one still might be a little bit short. I mean, he was 7 of 16 from the field. This is a guy who's going to take, a ton of threes. So, maybe you might want to look at his 3-point prop over. That's a little high, 3.5, but yeah, we had that one in game one at 13 and a half. Seems like they adjusted it a little bit. But yeah, I think the Knicks ultimately win this series in, 5 or 6 games. But I just think that the Pistons are way too young. And then honestly, you got an A-plus game out of Tobias Harris. So like you get 25 points out of Tobias Harris. I'm a Philly guy. And we criticize them heavily. If he played like that with Joel Embiid and, Jimmy Butler or Ben Simmons, I mean, the Sixers would have gone to the Eastern Conference Finals at some point, and we just never got that. So, yeah, I definitely don't see the Pistons winning the series.
Let's move to Clippers Nuggets. Clippers laying a point in game two after being anywhere from a 2.5 to 3.5 point underdogs. And despite the fact that they lost game one, they actually covered. And if anyone had the spread, man, that was you probably deserve to cover if you're the Clippers because you led most of the way. But man, down five, they hit a three and then did not get the foul with like 0.9 of a second. So tough beat, no matter who you're gonna have in that game.
And the
But
Clippers plus three.
there you
So
go. Had it all the way.
I waited until game time. It was like 2.5 the whole week, and right at post, a certain book, I can't say it obviously. I'm a FanDuel guy, but they went to three, and I just snatched that up. And like we're covering the whole game, and I'm watching the end of the game, and when Kawhi Leonard has that turnover, I'm like, oh my God! And then Russ makes the three, and I'm like, I'm dead. And then fortunately, we go to overtime, and we get lucky.
That was the full Russell Westbrook experience. The good, the bad, and the ugly. There was a lot of Westbrook. What do you make of game two? What were your thoughts coming into the series? Do you feel differently after? And what are you looking at here?
So I thought the opener was one of the most horrendous openers in the history of the NBA postseason history. Like I saw Clippers plus 160 and I couldn't believe it. And the Clippers ultimately ended up closing as favorites before the series launched, but I just didn't want to I didn't think it was a good price to take the Clippers as a favorite. Obviously the Nuggets have home court, and then obviously they have the best player in basketball, Nikola Jokic. And one of my concerns was that as good as the Clippers are, James Harden has these postseason demons. Kawhi Leonard, he has this injury history. So I didn't want to take them as a favorite. I did take them, as an underdog in game one, getting plus money. But I still think, as we saw in game one, Jokic is still the best player in basketball. And ultimately, as long as Jamal Murray is healthy, him and Jokic, they can out execute teams in the clutch if it's a close game. So I only wanted the Clippers as a dog. I didn't want them as a favorite. I think this is going to be a very close and a very long series. I don't like how the game two price is priced. I mean, you got to lay points on the road. I just don't think, I think that's pricing in the fact that the Clippers are down 0-1 right now. So I'm going to stay away from a side on this one, even though I do think the Clippers, should have a good chance of winning, but I just don't like the price at all.
I picked Nuggets in seven, didn't feel great about it. I just felt like, you know what? And I completely agree that that opener was wrong. And to show you how wrong that opener was, like you said, D Denver minus 190, Clippers plus 165 or so. Denver's won a game in this series, and now we're not even at the opening price, even with Denver with a game in the bank, because we're looking at -130, -140 or so for Denver. So just crazy how that played out. I just picked Denver at seven just because it's like Jokic is the best player in the world, and they had the game seven at home. I wouldn't be shocked at all if the Clippers won. I understand the Nuggets shortcoming. So I don't know if I gave you a redo in terms of picking the series. You're thinking Clippers in what, six or seven, something like that still?
I'm gonna go Clippers in seven.
Yeah.
And I mean, my biggest thing is like when I look at my model, like for my full season numbers, I had this exactly at a pickle. So I like ultimately I think this is a seven game series. I think if you're taking, my Clippers numbers for the second half of the year, basically have them as one of the best teams in basketball. Obviously the Nuggets kind of struggled down the stretch, but they still have home court and they still have the best player. So I'm using my full season number on this one.
We talked about this game in this series already, so you can be quick if you want. Pacers -4.5, 227.5. The game, first one Tuesday night. Any bet here?
There's no
Over?
bet
Any
here.
over? Okay.
Well, I think I'm looking towards the over. I haven't played it yet. I think the biggest thing is I do think the Bucks shooting should improve. Like, I mean, like Kyle Kuzma just was an absolute zero. At some point, he has to give you something. I don't know if Damian Lillard is playing, but I just don't see the Bucks going 9 of 37 from three and, shooting 41% from the game. But at the same time, I still don't see them slowing down this Pacers team. So I'm looking over, but I haven't played it yet.
What number would you possibly need to take the Grizzlies in game two? I know you're a numbers guy, but oh my goodness, I understand they could play a little better. And as better as we like to think, contrarians say, you know what, it's going to be overvalued. Nobody's going to want to take the Grizzlies. This is the time to take them. Oof, that's a tough one. OKC laying 15 as we speak, total 229.5. What are you looking at here?
Know if there's an adjustment that the Grizzlies can make. I mean, obviously they struggled down the stretch defensively. The whole second half of the year, they just weren't good defensively at all. And I think they're missing two of their better defenders right now. They're missing Jalen Wells and they're missing Brandon Clark. And I think when you're missing those two, it just puts you in a bad way. So for me, I like it's Oklahoma City under a pass, as crazy as it sounds. I think they put the league on notice. So, the frustrating thing for me is that my model actually likes the Grizzlies. Like it just says that number is too high, but I can't do it.
Would OKC at +105 to sweep interest you with the thinking, all right, chances are there's no locks, but chances are they're going to win game two. If they just win game three, we know how these betting markets go. When you're up 3-0, the betting market kind of gives up on the team that's down 0-3. So you're going to be a big favorite in game four. Is that slight plus money? Is that enough to pull the trigger on OKC
That's
for the
definitely
sweep?
enough. Actually,
Yeah.
I think that's a bargain.
I agree.
When you consider that, they're 14 and a half point favorites in game two. If they're 14 and a half in game two, what are you looking at? Like 7 or 8 in game three?
Yeah,
So,
maybe they adjust a little bit because the desperation of Memphis, but not that by that much. There's still a list, yeah, like 5-6 at the worst, I would think.
and then even if it's, you're tight in game three or game four, you still have hedge value just because Oklahoma City Thunder is just such a huge favorite. Like you could put yourself in a position to where you can get a nice price in game.
Yep, totally with you. The Lakers run out of the gym in game one. Now, if you're making the case to not be concerned, it's Minnesota at one point was 20 of 36 from three. Outlier shooting, maybe. A lot of those looks were wide open. We've seen this movie before where the team that loses at home game one tends to roll in game two. They're just motivated. The team that won, they have a level of satisfaction. So I'd look towards the Lakers here. Obvious concerns with how dominant Minnesota was. What did you think going into the series? And what do you think here for game two with the Lakers laying 5.5?
So like I'm really mad at myself for not being on Minnesota in game one. My model actually like Minnesota, and I'm a big Luka guy. So sometimes we all have biases. I thought the Lakers would ultimately win this series, but I just didn't want to play the Lakers because my model is showing value on the Minnesota Timberwolves. One of the things I played was over 5.5 games. I thought this would be a very long series. I thought, the Wolves, I thought they had a Rudy Gobert and a Luka Doncic problem. And it seems like the problem is for the Lakers, they just don't have enough size. And I think that is a concern here. Like, they don't have the size. And if Jackson Hayes can't stay on the floor, he played 8 minutes and was a minus 11. If he can't stay on the floor, it's like, what are the Lakers doing inside? Because they've really got beat up inside. And then, they just didn't have the right rotations on, 3-point shooters, and they gave up everything. So I think the Lakers will probably clean that up. I still think this is a longer series. I can't see the Wolves beating them in, 4 or 5 games. I can't. So I still like the over 5.5 games, but I do think the Lakers, they find a way to pull off game two. I mean, like, when you're looking at, and this is, a historical trend I've always played, top three seeds coming off a game one loss, 32-20, 32-20. That's 61.5%. I think that's one of those things that you can kind of just blindly play. I think top three seeds, they ultimately, they figure out a way to win game two. So I'm gonna be on the, I don't know if I'm gonna be on the Lakers, but I think I gotta pull the trigger.
And all the way on Wednesday, we get this is another one where the first round is so spread out. Celtics Magic, Celtics laying 12 and a half. I was on it in game one. I'll probably go back to it in game two. Magic team total under 94 and a half ish. I just don't think they can score. That the Celtics have so many bodies they can throw at Paolo, so much length they can throw at Paolo. Orlando just can't shoot the three, and they're just limited on offense. I'm gonna keep going to this until it beats me. Do you agree with that play? Any other plays you're looking at? Would you take it, lay it, side total? What are you looking at here?
Yeah, this Magic team. I mean, you're talking about a team that had a 98.9 offensive rating today. That's in the 10% of all NBA games played all season long per clean in the glass. So, yeah, I mean, they're not going to be able to score efficiently. We know that. I almost kind of want to go to, just the regular under because, one of the things that we saw in this game is that the Magic actually did a great job at limiting the Celtics 3-point attempts. The Celtics are trying to get up 50, 60 threes. And, in the first half, the Magic actually, they outshot the Celtics from three in terms of frequency. So I don't know if this is going to be a high scoring series at all. So I think you could probably just go under for the total, especially when you consider the Magic are first in opponent 3-point shooting frequency, just only allowing 35% of opponent attempts to come from three. So if that continues, I think you're going to continue to see unders.
This is what Boston in four, Boston in five, no more, no less, something like that.
See, this is tough because Orlando has always played the Celtics tough. They've all, I mean, historically, even you look at that first half, they played them pretty tough. And in the Celtics, they have been a team that plays with their food. So it wouldn't surprise me if the Magic won one, but I think this is probably it's probably 4 or 5. It's probably fat. It's five max. It's not going to six.
No, I would agree with that. Who did you pick in the finals going in, and who do you not that anything would change here, two games. Are you OKC Boston like the majority of the people, or do you have something different?
I'm definitely Boston in the East. I think the Cavs got to show me. I think the Celtics, they just kind of have a gear that they've proven it. I mean, we've seen them in the Eastern Conference Finals for pretty much the past half decade. I trust them ultimately. Out west, I mean, Oklahoma City, they put the stop down today. I mean, they put the league on notice. I think if it's not Oklahoma City, it's the winner of this Lakers Wolves series. Because I think both of those teams can push Oklahoma City.
Yeah, makes sense. You mentioned you're a Philly guy. What is the solution here for the Sixers? Is it pray for Cooper Flagg and that's about it? What are you thinking here with your Sixers going forward?
I think it's pray for. So I actually have two teams. I'm a Sixers fan and a Lakers fan because Kobe and Iverson were my favorite players growing up. But I think you got to pray for Cooper Flagg. And then ultimately, I think you got to figure out what's going on with Joel Embiid. I don't know if he's ever going to play basketball again.
Wow.
Honestly, like it would probably be ideal if, and I hate to say it, but it would be ideal if, they could, if he finds a way to just retire, you get that kind of insurance thing back, and you kind of just move on. I think you're stuck with Paul George, unfortunately. I think that's the tragic thing because would they give him 4 years or so? So you got 3 more years of him. And I don't see anybody taking his contract with the second apron. even if you were to give up picks. So you're kind of stuck with him. So you kind of really got to build around the young guys. You got to build around Maxey. You got to build around whoever they can draft this year. You got to build around McCain.
Yeah, and I think the consensus was, man, the Clippers let Paul George go. That was stupid. What were they thinking? Well, sometimes the team that has the guy knows better, and it's worked out for the Clippers, and it's not going well for Philly. You said something that shocked me. I know it's bad health-wise with Embiid, and there's him being ever the MVP guy we saw a couple years ago is a massive underdog, but it's that bad where he might have to retire.
I mean, that's what it feels like. I mean, they, I mean, is he going to play? Like, I mean, like, is he going to be able to play 20 games at this point in time? Like, he could barely get to the Olympics, and then he comes in and he has to get surgery again. It's just, I mean, I don't see him retiring because obviously he wants that money, but I think we're at a point to where I don't know how he makes it through a season. And, you know, when it comes to, you know, Paul George, I think the interesting thing is I think we're seeing, you know, one of the prevalent sentiments amongst NBA, you know, general managers is that you want to maintain the asset because you
Yes.
can always trade them later. I don't know if that's the case in this new CBA. Like maintaining the asset probably isn't the most important thing. You want to, you know, create flexibility by, you know, having that cap space and being under the second apron. So I think the Clippers played it right. And I think they were ahead of their time.
Raheem, this was long overdue, man. Appreciate you coming on. Where can we find your stuff?
You can find me at The Ringer on Spotify. We got the podcast, East Coast Bias. You can also find me on FanDuel TV. You know, one other thing I want to say, I think there's still value on Oklahoma City Thunder to win the West. You know, it was minus 140 yesterday. It's minus 170 now, but right now I think there's still value in it, honestly. I don't think you're gonna get a better price.
Yeah, you might be right. It might be a situation where it was, we have a hard time seeing this stuff until believing this stuff until we see it. And it happened the first Warriors title too, where they had a lot of doubters. Then they win, and everyone just kind of takes it for granted. Same thing with the Celtics last year. So, it's NBA is a sport where we have to be proven. I guess that goes for all sports, but.
Here's the thing. It seems like Oklahoma City is going to get through this series against Memphis unscathed. The Clippers and the Nuggets are going to beat each other up.
Good
I
point.
think we can see that. And then I also think this Lakers Wolves series is going to be tough. And I also think this the Warriors and Rockets series is going to be tough as well. So I think the rest of the West is pretty much going to beat each other up. And I think Oklahoma City, they have their depth. And look, SGA, he barely had to, you know, do anything today. And they still won by 50. So I think it's right there for Oklahoma City.
Raheem, appreciate the time, man. We'll do it again soon, hopefully. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. Appreciate you guys listening. Goldboys.com. Check out the Discord there. Rate, review, subscribe. We'll be back Wednesday. See you then.